The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its stories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good the design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Pray it in, read it through, live it out, and pass it on.
Once again, welcome back. Paul Harmon here. Very pleased that you decided to hang in there with me right after worship. Isn't it wonderful to worship the Lord? Brings in His presence as well as just the delight that we have today. We are continuing our series entitled The Bible, Handwriting of God. So I want to encourage you, if you can, Bible attendance today, especially today. If you have your Bible, would you take a look at that Bible, lift it up, say, man, I've got my Bible right here. We enjoy it. Not only the printed version, but maybe you might have the electronic Bible. Either way, make sure that you have the Bible today. And often there'll be people that say, well, I know, Pastor Paul, you're going to go ahead and you're going to just put the scriptures right there on the screen for us to enjoy. Well, I will do that. That's for those that may not own a Bible, but you and I, we cherish the Bible, the Word of God. And today, our second message in the series is entitled, The Bible, It's Alive, Active, and with Answers. So let me pray before we even begin. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for opening our hearts. Thank you for the privilege we have to gather around your word, gather around the Bible. May it be like a good meal. As you said, Almighty God, in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, Lord, use your servant to bring forth words that will bring life and nourishment in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I've been enjoying some great interaction, and thank you, you who continue to follow us. Thank you. Some of you are from distant lands or maybe other states. Well, I am so grateful that you just send me an email or just notify us to the office how these messages or your experience on a Sunday here at Hope Chapel mean so much to you. As we take a look at the Bible, some have been describing things like this, that as a child, we were given a leather Bible, and that leather Bible, we read long words and hard-to-pronounce names, and we were told we are to believe everything in the Bible to be true. So we were told stories. And then we grew up. We grew up and it became very hard, doesn't it? There's a difference between being told really the element of Bible stories and then, like we have today, the story of the Bible. That's important for us. It helps us to recognize and put our confidence that we really are handling and embracing and pursuing the Word of God. Heard a cute little story where a woman decided to bring her Bible out, and her lady friend says, oh, don't bring out the Bible. I'm done with the Bible. My parents made me read the Bible every day. So I guess you could call me an expert. And so the lady friend says, well, then why don't you go to church with me? She says, well, you know, I think it's probably too late for me. I really have probably broke every one of the 7 commandments. So you can see where certain people may kind of lose their bearing. Also, a little story, fun one, where a young man, young Christian, was telling a group of people about Jonah being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. That's naturally in the book of Jonah. And a man came up and really kind of harassed and says, that is such a ridiculous story. I mean, who can believe that one? And so the young Christian says, well, that's one of the things I want to do when I get to heaven. I want to ask Jonah, what was it all about? What was it like? And the man said, well, what if he's not in heaven? And so the young Christian said, well, if he's not, then you ask him. Just thought I'd throw that in there as well. Last time we were together, it's interesting because we were directing our attention upon reasons for believing the Bible. And there's so much confirmation about the Scriptures, how the Bible itself claims to be the Word of God, how that the history, the church, has recognized these Scriptures as the Word of God, how that Jesus and the apostles really quoted and validated the Word of God, and that even history and architect have really merged to say those same places and sites mentioned in the Bible have been discovered and affirmed, how that fulfilled prophecy confirms the Scripture. I hope you'll get a chance and take a look at that message. I think it'll really just really cause your heart to well up and say, wow, this is not just any book. Remember, it's not one book. These are 66 books, the miraculous element of the Bible. And we know this to be true, how that in Matthew chapter 24, 14, remember when Jesus says, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached into all the world as a witness against the nations, and then the end will come. So when I say that, it's amazing because the Guinness Book has said that the Bible is the most published and distributed book of all of history. Since 1815, there has been really well over 2.5 billion Bibles distributed. It's been put into 2,223 languages and dialects. That alone is phenomenal. And to recognize is amazing. 92% of American homes have at least one Bible in their home. There really has been stated as well, 75 million Americans say the Bible should be read. And it's interesting that we should take a look at that and say, well, are they actually reading it? So when we look here at the importance of the Bible, there has been places where it's been stipulated. And for example, is the cover of the U.S. News and World Report. Right on the cover, they said, who wrote the Bible? And so if man wrote the Bible, or did God write the Bible? And they wrestled with that. If man wrote the Bible, then how do we come to the realization it was written by 40 different authors? Many of them never knew that the other existed. And over a span of 1,500 years, the Bible is, remember, it's 66 books compressed into one volume, and over 3 continents, as well as 3 different languages. It's an amazing book. That's why we're calling this series The Handwriting of God. So the Bible's the most inspired book, and I really want to encourage you, as we take a look at this, this is an amazing book, because our conclusion always is, let's get into reading the book. I invited you last week, let's read at least 3 chapters of the Bible. You need to know the author in order to get anything out of the Bible. It's really a closed book. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says that the natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God because it's foolishness to the natural man. What is this all about? Because it is spiritually discerned. It's a spiritual book. God is a spirit, John 4. 23 and 24. So it's important when we say, Lord, open up heaven. I want to hear some things. But the Bible's been influential in forming art and music and culture and fashion. It's been responsible for the civil rights movement. It's amazing how the Bible is really the most inspired. So it really is. It's alive. It's active. with answers. And it's important for us to see that. Remember how it's important, too, the Bible doesn't give all details. Since God is eternal, God is vast, that means it's going to take all of eternity to get to know God. How can you discover someone who is without time, without beginning or end? It's amazing. So we do know enough through the Scriptures about God, because Deuteronomy 29:29 says that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but that which is revealed belongs to us and to our children, that we may do all the words of this law. So I'm always fascinated because in John 21:25, the very last verse in the Gospel of John, John says Jesus did a whole lot more than we can fit into this volume. And he says, I suppose that everything that Jesus did were to be written, there would not be enough room on this planet or books to contain it. So it's amazing. We do know this, dear friends. God wanted to convey to you how he came to rescue you, the plan of salvation, God's redemptive plan to send his son for you. So that's the beauty of the Bible. I really call it God's love letters to me and God's love letters to you who believe. Do you know that the Bible, Jesus had 3.5 years of ministry. We know that. He lived 33 years before his death on the cross and then ascension to heaven. He's eternal. He's God, but he came in a form of a man to represent mankind as he died on the cross. Praise God. But the Bible only records 50 days of those 3.5 years of ministry. That's an amazing thing. So God is really highlighting what he wants you to know, and it's worth us checking out. So if you're into challenges, if you've been looking at, well, I'm going to get back into exercise, I'm going to start eating right, I'm going to reduce stress, boy, get into the Bible. It's been proven that the Bible will actually increase your mental awareness, the ability for your emotions to be stabilized. It's an amazing book. It is powerful, and the element of improved spiritual life is so great and wonderful. Literally changes a person's physical health. Get into the book. Well, let's take a look here, because I've got 3 points I want to just highlight, and I want to begin now with number one, that the Bible is alive. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I've got my Bible open to that. Hebrews 4, 12 says this, that the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The New American Standard version of the Bible says that the Word of God is living and active. That's why I'm talking about how the Bible is alive. It's active. Boy, there's answers here. That's why I want to highlight what the Bible does for us. We know that we've affirmed that the Bible's worth believing, but there's something about Hebrews chapter 4 where it says that the Word of God will bring a piercing element we would call the Word conviction, where it helps a person to say, oh, man, I think I'm aware of something in my life that I should make adjustments on, that the Word of God has an ability, it's alive, and speaks right to us, and not just, oh, I think I know head knowledge, but there's actually a piercing that comes. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. What I really intended to do when I manipulated that thing, God's Word, when I'm into it, saying, oh, you know what? Maybe that's not the best way to go. I want to follow the plan that God has. I met a guy the other day. He was saying, you know, I really haven't repented since he's something like 1972. I said, 1970? That means to me, that guy's not hearing anything from God. It's like, back off. Hello, who are you? I feel like I repent like at least 3 times a day. It seems like God moving in areas. And it's one of those hard areas where you feel like, oh, maybe I should make some adjustments in my life. But it's so reassuring when God starts to speak, because I trust him so, I love him so, I'm willing to go in the direction that his word would tell me. So there's two ways that God brings that kind of conviction, either by reason of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes people said no to the Holy Spirit wooing and direction long enough, they don't even hear anything. They don't have an awareness of a conscience anymore. But the Bible is the other way, that the word of God is like a sword piercing right to the original intent when we started to think and do the way we are. See, love of God will cause us to say, man, I want to be wherever God is, and this is God's word. I remember when I was dating my girlfriend, Ainsley, we met in Bible college, and we had different likes. We focused on our love and commitment to serve Jesus Christ, but I liked to play intramural football with the guys. I enjoyed so much slow pitch softball. Ainsley was into ballet and badminton. I thought, whoa, I'm definitely not into ballet, but I remember buying tickets to go see Giselle. Really, it was the American Ballet Theater performing right there in Los Angeles. I scored big points. It was great. But I still don't appreciate ballet. But you know, I found it was interesting because Ainsley liked ballet. I liked it enough to want to be where Ainsley was as she enjoyed it. It wasn't so much the circumstance as it was important to me to be with the person. You know, Bible reading and intaking the word is the same. Your flesh might say, you know, I'm not really into that. There's other things, and oftentimes will come to my mind when I get up in the morning. My usual routine is this. I'll get up at 5, coffee will be percolating automatically, and then I'll go and read my Bible and then spend time in prayer as well, spending that time at 6 in the morning for prayer. It's important for me, but there are times I'm feeling I'd like to read my emails first. Maybe I should really check on what's happening in the news. And that just is so appealing to my flesh. But I know I love the Lord, and I want to hear from him. And I want to put him first. And I know if you'll do that, something thereof, you're going to find your whole day will become bright, better, and really blessed. So it's important for us to take a look at that, the importance of spending time with God. So when you feel that conviction, you start reading the Bible, the word is alive, and you start to feel conviction. That really is a good thing. Let me highlight that. That really is the way God works. And you can tell it's conviction because God will always show you the way to go, the way out, so that you can improve and be safe. You can improve and be better. You can improve and see the blessings of heaven come down. Conviction to say you're not doing it the way God's word is saying, you make the adjustment. That's the word called repentance. That word repentance literally means I'm going this way. I'm going to do a 160 and go the other way. It's almost like a military term. But that's the way the Holy Spirit works with conviction. There's another word that's called condemnation. Boy, that's all about the devil. That's the way he works. If you've ever felt condemned for even sometimes the slightest thing and you can't shake it, you want to get over it, you want to move on from it, the devil will always be there to remind you, you blew it. And probably a thought will come, God probably won't forgive you for that one because you've already done it 3 times this month. So it's amazing how the devil will come through. No direction how to improve. But God in his sweetness just says, just come to me. I'll accept you. That's a beautiful thing about the power of love and the power of God's word and the power when the Holy Spirit comes and the word of God brings conviction, that brings change, that brings real healing. So it's important for us to see that the unchanging, the infallible word of God that will confront us today, it's wonderful. Let's take a look at number 2. Bible is active. I'm back then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 17. Remember when we just read in Hebrews 4, 12, how the word of God is living and powerful, and the other word is active. But 2 Timothy 3, 16 talks about that. And it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God. Now, you can't be, a person can't be a man of God, a woman of God, without God. So it's always important to have God in your life and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But when we look here how the Bible is active, how? Well, it really started because God inspired the Word. That really, theologians call that the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures, that God literally breathed into individuals to start to write what he wanted writing. It's important. There's two ways God reveals himself to planet Earth. One's called general revelation, and the other's called special revelation. General revelation, we could say, is creation. If you just look into the skies and see the beauty of the stars, when you're out there on the ocean front, God's really writing in the sky saying, I exist. That's probably all, it's just, I exist. Somebody with a lot of intelligence made everything. General revelation, that's for everybody. But it's also important because you won't get enough of God if you just go with general revelation. You have to have special revelation. And that is where the Bible comes in. For example, if I were to stand right here and I just went silent, would you know what I'm thinking? No way. Not unless I communicate some other special revelation. What was I thinking? Well, surfing the North Shore in Oahu. Gotcha. But in the meantime, isn't it important for us? Because God uses the inspired Word of God. Everything about this book is inspired. I even think even the numbers. There's a study called numerology. Just even the way the chapters and verses are laid out. Even God's hand had a part in that. Here's an example. You may want to just write it down. John 6:66. Now, you know, John wrote by the Holy Spirit's leading the book of Revelation. But in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 66, the mark of the beast. That verse literally says this: from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Isn't that amazing? I think that's interesting. But God landed that. The original Bible did not have chapter breaks and verses. That was applied later so that you and I can enjoy easy reference finding. Doesn't diminish from that, but even the numbers are powerful and effective. So when God breathed or God inspired the written word, how did he do that? Did he say, hey there, Paul, the apostle, I want you to sit down. I'm going to give you some ways. I want you to dictate now. Nope. It really means that it's kind of like a maritime word where there was wind blowing the ship. We know the destination is going to go right there. It might vary a little bit, and that's how the different authors, they wrote with different styles, they wrote with different patterns, exposures, upbringings, but the destination is where God wanted that destination exactly the way he wanted it. It's amazing how that is. It's phenomenal. And special revelation, the Word of God through Scripture gives that to humanity. We would not know really anything of the Lord if we did not have the Scripture. So for you who might kind of go back to say, well, I believe in God. Well, man, everybody believes in God. James 2:19 says even the demons believe in God and tremble, and we know they're not going to go to heaven, so there's no big deal who believes in God and who doesn't. It's who believes and receives God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of the world. So it's important when we take a look how necessary it is when God starts to bring revelation of himself. I want to share an example of that. You may want to write down, would you please? In Psalm 19, David, who's called the psalmist, he writing about both general revelation, creation, and then special revelation, the Word of God. It's phenomenal to take a look at that. It's important for us because when we see here, for example, in Psalm 19, verse 1, it starts off, I won't read the whole portion, but I will in a moment here, of verse 7 through 11, starts off and says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. So that's general revelation, goes all the way to verse 6. Enjoy that, read that. At verse 7, there's a change. All of a sudden, it's about the word of God, the special revelation. Let me read that to you. It's Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So isn't it wonderful? I like Psalm 19. It's phenomenal. You can know God by reading the scriptures. That's called special revelation. It's important once again for us. So the description about the scriptures from Psalm 19 that we just read, the words used, pure, sure, right, pure again, perfect, clean, true, righteous, altogether. So nature can speak very eloquently about what God does. If you study just plant and animal life, say, whoa, that is intriguing. Look at all the varieties. Look at all the style of foliage. It's amazing. It's amazing. But when it comes right down to that, you want to know God, it's not going to come through creation. It won't. It's going to come through Scripture when God inspired the written word so that you can know him. How else would you discover the love of God? How else would you discover the sacrifice of God or the plan of God for humanity and how about for you? We must get into the Word. Boy, it's so important to have the Lord come and enable us to see him. There has been times that there have been people and they've written their account of seeing God more than just in a human form. Peter the Apostle, he wrote about what he saw that's called the Mount of Transfiguration. You can write that down, take it into your life groups if you're part of our small groups. But in Matthew 17, 5, it's recorded, Mark 8, verse 7, as well as Luke 9, verse 35. Let me read that. I think it's worth noting because Peter recounts it in his epistle when he writes about it later. And we see it in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1, 16 to 19. It says, for we did not follow cunning devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts. Reason why I bring that portion up, not only is the Bible alive, it's active, but I like when the Apostle Peter says, man, we saw Jesus in his glorified state. We heard God's voice from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. There's a couple times where God the Father shouts from heaven, say, you gotta hear my Son. That was one of them. The other one, when Jesus was baptized, my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. So when we look at and the importance of that, what Peter ends up saying says, not only did we see something, we're telling you about it, if you would consider, he says, take the prophetic word. It's even more valid than that. That's powerful, isn't it? He says, we saw things, but we have the sure word of the prophetic written scriptures. That's why Jesus, when he was being tempted by the devil again, in Matthew 4:4, he says, hey, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You and I need the word of God. Please get into the book. Don't set it down. Have a daily consumption of the word of God. Let's go to number three now. The Bible has answers. The Bible has answers. It's not only alive and active, it's with answers. And that's important for us right now. I want to encourage you, get into the book. There's answers for you. You can go anywhere on this planet searching for that, but do not vacate going into the Word. Remember how the Bible, we read in Hebrews 4:12, that it's living, powerful, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God not only knows what you and I would be thinking, the present, he knows the past for sure. He certainly knows what the future holds. Wouldn't it be wise of us to say, Lord, I need that? I want to highlight Psalm 119, verse 105 to 108. Let me read that because it really addresses how the Word will bring answers. Always a fascinating chapter in Scripture. The longest chapter is Psalm 119. It is all about the Bible and pouring praise on God's word, God's laws, God's judgment, God's precept, basically the word of God. And it's written in subsections using the Greek Hebrew alphabet. Really, it's a Hebrew lettering. It's amazing when it comes about. So let me read verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. Boy, that Psalm 119 goes on. It's a beautiful chapter, but no place like the Bible to give you wisdom and counsel and guidance. It's so necessary. I like it where the apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How's that going to happen? Reading the Word of God. So it's been fascinating to me since the COVID pandemic hit, how that really, it just seemed like everything screeched to a halt. And then all of a sudden, as we take a look at that over these past few months, how that Bible consumption, Bibles flew off the shelf. It was at an all-time high, really, since the past 10 years, Bibles were in high demand. I'm so excited about that. It seems very consistent how pain is still the number one way with which God may allow so that we come to Him seeking answers. And we're all going through trauma, one way or the other. You are probably going through some trauma. Life just has a way of doing it. Jesus was very clear about that. In this world, you will have tribulation in John 16:33, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Boy, those things that God has for us, He wants to show us, He wants to help us with. And I think if there's ever a time that you might be seeing how, boy, God's voice has been mute, it's not happening, it's been put on hold, it's time to get into the Scriptures once again. Did you know that you can read the entire Bible through in 1 year if you just read 12 minutes a day of Scripture? I know I've been asking you to read 3 chapters a day, starting with the book of Matthew. We'll take a look at that a little bit more, just the approach to study or read the Bible. But it's important right now that we're seeing and hearing the story of the Bible. And when we check it out, it's important because we call it really the pulpit speed reading, but 12 minutes a day, go ahead and set your little egg timer or your smartphone timer and Just read for 12 minutes. And as you do, in 1 year, you'll have read through the Bible. They've had a little read-off, and they discovered that in 72 hours, the Bible was read. 52 hours in the Old Testament and 20 hours in the New Testament. There you go. 72 hours, you can be done reading the entire Bible. But it's important, the reliability and the authority of Scripture. It's not just any book. Because people change, we know that nations rise and fall. Economics, well, that's going to wane and falter. And then even our human bodies decay. But the Word of God does not change. I'm so excited we get a chance. It's the handwriting of God to see what God has for you. And you know, as things start to become a little more intense, we recognize for Christians, we've always been in an element of a spiritual warfare. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says very clearly that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. There is nobody that you can see is your enemy. But as we recognize that the soon return of Christ, we're closer to his return today as we were last Sunday. So we recognize that things are going to be a little more contentious because the enemy knows his time is short. You need to be mindful of that and check out what the Word of God has for you. I like, too, where Jesus came to Peter. Remember that? It's listed in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. In Luke 22, 31, Jesus told Peter this just before he denied Christ three times. He said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat." And Jesus went on and says, "But I have prayed for you that your faith doesn't fail. And that when you've been restored, go strengthen your brothers." Man, I've been praying for you that your faith doesn't fail. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. It's important that you have a confidence that this is not just words on paper. This is the Word of God speaking to you. And the reminder is you have an adversary, and he is unseen. He's an unseen enemy, and he wishes to destroy us. Therefore, hold firm. So my encouragement to you is now with this. How to apply the power of God's Word into practical living. I want to list some things that as a pastor over 32 years, I have come across people that are really dealing with life issues, and the Bible answers them. So you might say, well, I don't need the Bible only when I just need some form of comfort or encouragement. But here's a list of things. Maybe this might reflect on what you're going through or help you to form a Bible study for individuals that you know are going through. Let me read some of these to you now. If you are in the middle of, number one, my marriage is breaking up. Here's another one. My boss hates me. Here we go, another one. My career is going nowhere. The Bible has answers for all of these. Another one, I am depressed. Nightmares torment me. I have unpaid bills. My sexual desire is strong and I'm a single or divorced. I want to get ahead at work. My husband has a drinking problem and is not a Christian. I have homosexual desires. I am a Christian and I have a problem with pornography. I am an addict to drugs. I am a victim of child abuse. I am an adult child of an alcoholic and I can't break free from the psychological bondage. I feel that I have so much potential in life, but I can't seem to unlock it. I want to get over my fears and phobias. I'm lonely, and all my Christian friends just quote scriptures at me. I feel like a failure. Well, how does the God who loves us so much want to communicate to you in those issues? And I'm sure there are many others that you may be facing or give testimony of how you may have gone through a very dark time, living in the shadows, and God's word brought you victory and, once again, reassurance. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. Well, with that, I love how Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Taste and see. Would you consider giving your life to Jesus? I invite you to do just that. And then get into the Bible. We're going to see some ways that would really help us, but our goal, once again, read 3 chapters a day. Start with the book of Matthew. Get to know. You've got to know the author. That means inviting Jesus into your life as Lord and Savior. You can do that even right now. Say, "Lord, I need you. Remove my sins. Thank you for the cross. Come into my life." And when you pick up this book and you honor it as it is, the Word of God, you spend time with the Lord in His Word, pray before you open it. "Lord, speak to my heart. Something, somewhere, you want to show me." And He will. Let me finish off with a little poem. Can we? Little perspective here. This poem goes like this. On a table, side by side, the Holy Bible and the TV guide. One is well worn, but cherished with pride. Not the Bible, but the TV guide. One is used daily to help folks decide. No, it isn't the Bible, it's the TV guide. As pages are turned, what shall they see? Oh, it doesn't matter. Turn on the TV. So they open the book in which they confide. No, it's not the Bible, it's the TV guide. The Word of God is seldom read, maybe a verse before they fall into bed. Exhausted and sleepy and tired as can be, not from reading the Bible, but from watching TV. So then back to the table, side by side, is the Holy Bible and the TV guide. No time for prayer, no time for the Word. The plan of salvation is seldom heard. But forgiveness of sin is so full and so free, is found in the Bible, not on TV. Let me pray off that blessing right now. I'm so glad that you have been journeying with me as we look at the Bible, the handwriting of God. Almighty God, you know you've been speaking to so many of us. For a matter of days, maybe months, open the book. Read my word. I pray, Holy Spirit, even now, move right where we are at. And Lord, let us not feel guilty, but let us just know it's the power of the Holy Spirit encouraging us to spend time with a loving Redeemer who wants to talk to us. Open up heaven, and may the Word fill the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls, this week. Lord, we thank you, and now speak a blessing on each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless you. Bye-bye. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.